So today's January 11th, year of our Lord 2009. We're looking at the SALT physical book, lesson number 2 this week, and it's entitled God's Plan for Your Body. You'll probably notice as you look at your back of your outline that I put an extra vowel in the plan on the back of there. I have a problem with spelling, and I always add extra vowels to the thing. Don't necessarily mean to, but I did on that one. And the editorial staff didn't get a chance to look at the bulletin, so it's purely and simply my situation. Our key verse for that is taken from Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, and it says, "For we have been called to freedom, my brothers and sisters." And as you think about this, God's call on your life is to live in freedom. And as Julie was sharing, you know, to live in joy, to live at peace, to live in harmony and enjoy life. That's his design for you, is to live in freedom. And the scripture goes on to say, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. So the challenge with you and I is to live in freedom, and that's going to be a challenge for us as we experience life. As we draw our diagram this morning, what I'd like you to do is start by at the top of your diagram to write God's plan. And then from there, draw a circle. And the illustration of God's plan is that He wants us to live in freedom. That's His design for our lives. And as long as we live within the boundaries that God has set up, we experience freedom in our life. And when we take things beyond the bounds of God, then we live outside that and we live in bondage. And what we believe to be true is that God created everything good, and that if we believe evil exists in the world, it's not that He created evil, but it's a perversion of good things that become evil. So as we pervert things and we take things too far, then they become evil. There is a scripture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 7 and 8 that says, God called us to be holy, not to live impure lives. Anyone who refuses to live by these rules is not disobeying human rules, but is rejecting God who gives His Holy Spirit to you. So God's plan is for you to live inside this, and if you live inside this, then that's good. Living inside there is good, and that's where you experience freedom. Now, Adam and Eve were made in the Garden of Eden, and everything there was designed for their enjoyment and their pleasure, and they were free to do anything they wanted. One day, Satan, in the form of a serpent, came to tempt Eve, and in Genesis chapter 3, verse 2, it says, "And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.'" So God says that you are completely free to eat anything you want in the garden. Now, it's not that they couldn't eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. God said, well, if you do that, you'll die. But they could eat of it, because they eventually did. And the illustration is that in most of our lives, we have it good. Like, they were like God. They were made like God. They were walking with God every day. They had this amazing fellowship. But yet they wanted to take it beyond the bounds, to take it further, and not be content with what God had provided and given to them. And then all of us experienced a great deal of suffering. So, the first thing I want you to write inside your diagram is the word enjoyment. God has created many things for our enjoyment. There's lots of stuff that we can just have fun at and enjoy. But if we take those things too far and take them outside the bounds, then it becomes indulgence. And so we can indulge ourselves in enjoyment. I got a call yesterday morning. It was an automated call from Chase where I have a Visa card. And the automated call says, we're just checking to make sure that you are making these purchases on your credit card this morning. And I was sitting there in my pajamas working on this lesson in my office. And, you know, the phone says, did you spend $460 at this furniture store? And I thought, no. Did you spend $1,100 and some odd at this electronics store? And I said, no. Did you spend $1,500 at this store? I thought, no. Did you spend $970 at this store? And I said, no. If you didn't make these purchases, then please press 1 and you can talk to an agent. And so I sit there and listen to a good rhythm and blues song for a few minutes, talk to a nice guy in Chicago. And he said, you know, it's not like your normal purchasing pattern to do that much spending in that short of a period of time. Your credit history isn't that you spend $5,000 in a few minutes. So I said, I didn't do any of those things. And he said, well, somebody has made a counterfeit card of yours and purchased a number of things, and we're not going to honor those. And I just wanted you to know we're keeping an eye on your credit account for you. And cut up the credit card you have, and we're going to send you one with a different number on it. Now, even my credit card people know that it's not my typical pattern to go out and buy that Bose sound system that I want and all of these Wizmo gizmos that I would like to have. But it's just not my normal pattern to go indulge my flesh and do that. So there's things that you can take beyond the bounds. It's not a problem to have a nice television or a nice sound system or to have comfortable furniture, as long as you can afford to do that. If you can't afford to do it, then it's an indulgence to take it beyond those bounds. Jules and I had saved up. Say what?
Our son Aaron has learned, I think he's still in the middle of learning.
He's learning that. Uh-huh. Yeah, there's a number of us who are learning that it's just as easy to save up for the thing you want to buy than it is to go buy it on credit and then pay it off. Right? And it's a lot more fun when you buy it to know that you have the money to pay for it. Not to be sitting there, you know, thinking, wow, man, look at all these charges. Right? So anything that we enjoy can be taken into an indulgence, can be taken too far. The next thing we want to talk about is our work pattern. And the Bible gave work to people. And we are supposed to work with diligence. We're supposed to work hard and enjoy working. Now, one of the great lies of our culture in this time and age that we live in is the career deception. And many young people fall into the trap, into the deception that if I have a career, then I'm meaningful. And if I'm climbing the corporate ladder, then I have value in life and prestige and all these things. But it's a very hollow thing. Whenever you climb the corporate ladder, there is always one more rung to get to. You never really get to the top of the thing. It's like trying to earn money, you know. There is never enough once you buy into the lie of there's happiness and money. So it's a good thing to work, and it's a good thing to enjoy your work while you're doing it. But there are patterns in life where we see people as workaholics. Right? Where they sacrifice their relationships for a career. I sit down and watched Armageddon the other day and love the movie. I love the heroes in the movie. But, you know, one of the storylines in it is a guy loves his wife, but his wife takes off on a career to be the assistant to the president rather than staying with her husband, although she loves her husband. But the career was more important to her than the marriage. And there's a lot of people who sacrifice their family life and their health in a working on a clear, and we call those people workaholics. So outside the bounds would be a workaholic. So anytime that you're getting more meaning and value out of your work than is normal, you've gone too far. Work hard, but don't make that your whole life. You know, your relationship with God, your relationship with your family should be more important than your job. Well, the next thing we want to look at is rest. God designed rest for us, and it's a good thing to have rest in your life. And actually, it's a challenge in our culture to actually take a day of rest. I was having a conversation this week with someone. I said, now, if you would just take 24 hours and rest your body, you'd probably feel better. And some of these things that hurt chronically with you, if you would give your body opportunity to rest from them, you'd probably feel better. But when you work this hard, 7 days a week, every week of the year, it's obvious that your body is going to have some effects from that. So resting is a good thing, but if we take resting outside the bounds, then it becomes laziness. So write lazy outside there. And laziness is when you're unwilling to actually work. I had a really cute video clip of that I was going to play about loafing. It's one of those great skits that comedians had done in the past. But there are people who are just lazy and unwilling to work. I listened to a country western song yesterday where the guy singing the song says, you're never going to find me on welfare. As long as my hands will work, I'm going to be a working man. You know, and not all of the song was great because he said he was going to drink his beer in a tavern. But he's going to be a working man, you know, and he's got the worker man blues. My grandkids, when we're talking about things, they'll say, what are you doing today, Poppy? And I said, I'm a worker man today. Or their dad will be going to the office. What are you doing today, Dad? Well, I'm going to go do worker man. And so there is a reality of working, but there is a reality of resting, and we can take any of those things too far. Now, this one is going to be one that'll be fun. It's eating. God actually designed eating. He designed all of our taste buds. He designed all these amazing different foods that we can enjoy. And when we live with inside God's plan of eating, that's all good. I live at a home with three women, and we're always experiencing different food adventures. Some days it's Indian food. Some days it's Cantonese food. Some days it's always this bizarro world ethnic foods and different spices and different patterns of eating all the time. And Mom and I, when we look at it, we say, well, we've never had this before. And the girls that cook it say, well, we may never have this one again, or we might have that one again. So eating is a good thing, and experiencing new things in eating is not a bad thing. There's a tremendous amount of different tastes and different seasons that we can put on stuff. I've said periodically that my ancestors in Europe were probably ones who started the spice wars. Because we like to have spices on our food. We don't like things bland. We don't like them bland. We like them seasoned. So eating is a good thing, but if we take it outside the bounds, then it becomes gluttony. So write that down. And in our culture, there is a serious problem with people who are overweight, obese. There is a serious problem in our culture with gluttony. And in the culture of the Christian Church of Jesus Christ in the year 2009, there is the same challenge when we get together for finger foods and snacks after church to enjoy that without going outside the bounds. As we traveled in Europe, I was amazed, and in Africa, I was amazed when you eat at the restaurant at the portion of food that you're given outside the United States. In the United States, when you sit down for a portion of food at most restaurants, you get at least three times as much, if not four times as much food as they give you in any foreign country. Any of you who have traveled abroad, you discover that to be true. We live in a culture in the United States of America of excess in food. And it's oftentimes the acceptable sin within the Christian church to be in gluttony. The Bible verse is Proverbs 23:21, "For the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and drowsiness will clothe the man with rags." So there's nothing wrong with eating, but eating too much is a problem. It's the same way when I was dealing with the heart disease that I have, as well as the cancer that I'm fighting. Three out of the four cardiologists that I talked to said, you know, it'd be a very healthy thing for you to do to have a glass of red wine every day. 6 to 8 ounces of red wine is really good for your heart. And so the natural impulsiveness of me says, well, if 6 to 8 is good, is 12 to and 16 better, or 32 better? And he says, there's no proven medical fact that beyond 6 to 8 is of any medical value. But the natural response in growing up the way I did, if a little bit is good, a lot is better, right? But it's not necessarily true. And so it's a healthy thing for your heart to do a little bit, but it's a sin to go outside the bounds into excess. So within God's bound, it's okay to eat. You know, when God came to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, he said, you can eat all the fruits that you want to. Every fruit that I made is really good for you. And that a lot of the vegans and vegetarians in our culture say, then that's the way we should live. Well, then after Noah survived the flood, God came to him and says, you can eat everything. And from here on, the animals are going to be afraid of you because you can eat them. Before that, you could just cuddle with anything. And it was kind of an amazing thing. But after the flood, then the animals are afraid of people because people are going to eat them. So you can eat anything you want. But some things, if you eat it too much, are not good. Does that make sense? So God says, eat anything you want, but just don't take it into excess. Now let's bring sex into the story. And we'll talk about marital sex. Marital sex from God's design is one man, one woman, married to each other, enjoying the freedom of marital sex within that confines. Anytime you take sex outside of that confine of one man, one woman, married together for life, enjoying sex, it becomes immorality. So as we look at the culture around us, there is a lot of different things that present to you the reality of immorality. So that's taken outside the bounds, is immorality. And immorality consists of any time that you're looking for sexual enjoyment outside a relationship with the woman or man that you're married to. So watching pornography or involving yourself in an extramarital affair, having premarital sex, any of those things are taken outside of the bounds, and those things will cause bondage in your life. The last thing we want to talk about is beauty. And that'll finish all the things around our circle. Now, beauty is something that's talked about in the Bible, although the Jewish culture did not put a high emphasis on it like our culture did. And you take it outside the bounds, it becomes vanity. Within our culture, beauty and vanity oftentimes go in harmony. And especially this time of year, beginning of the year, there's lots of diets. A lot of the magazines that I observed in the Kroger checkout line or the CVS checkout line this week are all of the stars that have either succeeded or failed in their diets and their plastic surgeries entering into the new year. How many of you noticed any of those? You know, I'm standing there waiting in line and I'm seeing, well, so-and-so had implants and so-and-so had a few tucks and so-and-so's diet worked or their didn't diet work. And our whole culture is designed around this common theme of vanity. So being handsome or being good looking is not a bad thing. Years ago when Julie and I were having the discussion about women and their beauty and so forth, one of my good friends told his wife, he said, in context with putting makeup on, he said, now, honey, if the barn needs a fresh coat of paint, paint the sucker. You know, if the barn don't need painted, don't paint it. So there's not a problem with wearing makeup. There's not a problem with having nice clothes. There is a problem when you're doing that to receive acceptance or compliments, or you're doing that for a vain reason. You're looking at just to look the best you can with what God gave you. It's not a bad deal. To being physically fit, Julie and I were talking this morning over our devotions time that I have 3 weeks before I go to this stem cell infusion. And we were talking about, well, would it be good to do the Rocky thing and get into an exercise campaign and crunch it down to get as good in a shape as you can for the fight that you're going to get into? And I said, well, it's a really good idea. I just don't really want to work that hard at it. But, you know, to be physically fit is not a bad thing. But I have friends who spend countless hours in the gym and shoot all kinds of different illegal drugs into their muscle tissues to have vast quantities of these things that they do. When I was taking the steroids to strengthen my bones before I went in for this, they said, oh, are those the kinds that build your muscles up? And I said, no, these are a different kind. But there's lots of things that people do that are not long-term healthy for you for vain reasons so that they look a certain way. And all of these things lead you into bondage. The more you work at vanity, the more you're involved with immorality or gluttony or laziness or being a workaholic or indulging the enjoyment, all of those things bring you into bondage. So the bottom line or the top line on the diagram is either freedom or bondage. That's the deal. Living within God's boundary is where you are free. You experience freedom living inside the bounds. If you take it outside the bounds, then you end up in bondage. Now, as I was growing up in the Christian faith, it was news to me, big news to me, that that was the truth. And I have experienced relationships with churches where they don't promote freedom within their congregation, but they promote all different types of bondage. Legalism. You're really free living inside of God's bounds. You're completely free to take a day off. It's not a problem on Sunday to lay around and rest this time of the year, to lay around and watch playoff games on the football. To rest your body on Sunday or on Saturday, whatever day of the week you want to take, to take 48 hours and rest is not a problem. And it's not a problem to watch television. But if that's the primary thing that you look forward to all day, if you find your life being scheduled around the TV's programming, then possibly you've taken it outside the bounds. It's not a problem to go to work and enjoy your work. But if all you think about and you get all your identity from your work, maybe that's a problem. It's not a problem to enjoy food and in this country to have plenty of it. But there is a reality of knowing when to say when. It's a challenge in most of our lives to learn how to live with being satisfied at a meal and not full or stuffed. It's okay to go to an all-you-eat buffet and only go one time. You don't have to get your money's worth, right? You don't have to continually go back and back and back and back. My brother-in-law used to love to go to Ryan's. And whenever we'd go to Ryan's, there would always be the comment about some of the people who had frequent flyer miles at the Ryan's buffet bar. And it wasn't hard to pick them out. You know, oftentimes they took two chairs to sit on, one for each cheek. You know, but eating is not a bad thing. And you can eat anything you want. I was with some Christian friends at Candlelight the other day, and I ordered the Southwestern shrimp, which shrimp is an unclean food for a Jew, and wrapped in pork is an unclean food. And so they said, "What is that?" And I said, it's a shrimp stuffed with hot peppers and wrapped in bacon. And two of the women chimed out at the 18 people around the table, "Unclean, unclean," because I was eating pork and shrimp, you know. Jules and I had lobster for our anniversary on top of a building in Chicago. And I know that I have Christian friends who would say, "Unclean, unclean, you can't eat lobster." Well, sure you can. And you can dunk it in butter if you want. Just don't do it all the time. You know, once a year, that's not a bad thing. You know what I mean? Now, you can still have your beans and rice and stuff on another day. But here's the point. And it's not a problem at all for married Christian couples to have a wonderful sex life. It's a great gig. It's an awesome thing. But don't take that outside the bounds. Or the same way with looking good. I appreciate it that most of you decided to take a shower and wash your hair and put on clean clothes today. You know, that's a good thing. But don't go over the bounds to where you're so concerned with how you look that you're fretting about it and so forth. Okay? So anything taken outside the bounds becomes bondage. And for years, I thought freedom was being able to do whatever I wanted in excess. I thought that's where the freedom was. But it's not. True freedom is living inside of God's bounds.